This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Celebrate that on today. He's not dead. He lives. Jesus lives today. That's our celebration on today. We give God praise, honor, and glory. If you would turn with me to our scripture for today, Gospel according to John chapter 14, verse 12. Gospel according to John 14, verse 12. Oh yeah, take time, celebrate. Yes, sir. He's not dead. Woo. What a mighty God we serve. God has blessed us. And there may be some that don't realize what the great blessing is, that he's not dead, and that he lives, and he lives within us. What a great God we serve. John chapter 14, verse 12. And we're excited for all families who've come together for Resurrection Sunday. Join here at First African Baptist Church. Thank you. Thank you. We don't take that for granted. God bless you. The gospel according to John chapter 14, one verse, verse 12. And it reads, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Again, John 14 and 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Our subject for today, greater is in me. Greater is in me. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, deliverer, one who loves us so much, one who cares, one who rules and super rules, the great I am, we come humbly before you on this day. We acknowledge that we haven't done everything we ought to do, have done some things we should not have done, but we come to you in humble submission to your will and to your way. God, we ask now that you will speak to us, we your servants. Open our ears that we may hear, our minds we may understand, our hearts that we might believe. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. God, it's our prayer on today that if there's any here today who do not know you as Lord and Savior, any who's participating and watching online and do not know you, that on this day, this Resurrection Sunday, that they will come to know you and believe you and to trust you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. That they will come saying, I yield unto you, God. Have your way in my life. So speak to us on today, God. Bless us on today that we may leave and be a blessing unto others. Thank you for all that you have done. Now thank you what you've commissioned and commanded us to do. In the precious name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Greater is in me. Today we celebrate the greatest story ever told. We celebrate this great story. And I know you've heard the story over and over and over again. We celebrate because Jesus was born of a virgin. He went about doing good. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, gave sight to the blind, even raised folk from the dead. But on today, we celebrate on today the fact that even though our Lord and Savior, and I had to go through it. I never forget that as I was coming up through the ranks as a preacher, young preacher, Dr. Cameron Madison Alexander, who was president of our General Missionary Baptist Convention of Georgia, would always say to us as young preachers, he said, don't ever tell people you know the story and don't tell them the story. Because somebody there don't know the story. So I want to take time to let you know the story that we're talking about that everybody knows. Now, if you've been at First African Baptist Church for at least 2 Sundays, you would have heard the story. But I don't want us to take it for granted, especially on Resurrection Sunday. I want us to really hear what's going on. And it's the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus, who came, lived on this earth, went about doing good. He was fully God and fully man. And he lived on this earth. He walked on this earth. He had the capacity to sin, but he did not sin. He had the capacity to be tempted. He was tempted, but he did not sin, which made him the perfect sacrifice. He was able to be a sacrifice who could sacrifice on behalf of others. In Jewish culture, all through the Old Testament, and as we get to the New Testament, we'll find that in order to atone for sins, you had to kill a lamb, generally a perfect ewe lamb, a lamb that was without blemish. And that lamb would literally be put on the altar after the high priest has taken on all the sins of the people and placed them upon himself. And then he would take all of his sins at the high point of this ceremony. He would take all of his sins and say, now listen to the lamb. He says, my hands are now your hands. My feet are now your feet. My head is now your head. Then the height of it when he said, my sins, which were actually the sins of everybody, my sins are now your sins. And then it would kill the lamb. The blood would atone. The blood would run and atone for all the sins of the people. Now that's what was being done. Because without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. So the acknowledgement is that we have to be honest with ourselves, honest with God, but with ourselves, that we all have sin. I said we got to be honest with ourselves and with everybody else that we all have sin. I said, we got to be honest with ourselves, because I think they spoke a little louder than everybody else. We have to be honest with ourselves and with others, because I know sometimes we get dressed up and we look good and we're all right, but the truth of the matter is, and I don't care how long you've been saved, we all have sinned and come short. And there are a lot of people who are living in sin, who don't know Jesus and everything else, and don't want to know Jesus because of the people who know Jesus act like we ain't never done nothing wrong. But we all mess up. We've messed up. And because of that, we needed a Savior. We needed to give our sins to the high priest. And the high priest is Jesus Christ. Jesus took on our sins. But not only did he take on our sins because he's the high priest, but because he also transformed from the high priest to the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And because he was perfect, he allowed them to take his life. His blood was shed. That's why when we see that picture of Jesus dying on the cross, he gave up his life. They didn't take it, but he allowed them to kill him. He allowed them. The blood ran from his veins. Yeah, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of the righteous one. Nothing but the blood of the one who lived a perfect life. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So he did die for all of our sins. The blood ran from his veins. He died. But today, the great celebration is not just the fact that he died and was placed in a borrowed tomb. It's already been reiterated. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Now, why was it a borrowed tomb? Because most of us know, I have to say most, not everybody, but most people know when you borrow something, you ought to give it back. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just about everybody knows that. You borrow something, you're supposed to give it back. So we always say that Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb because he knew he wasn't going to need it long. So he gave it back. So we talk about on the third day how he rose from the grave with power. Power over the grave, victory over death. We talk about the power that Jesus had. He died for our sins, But not only did he die for our sins, he showed that he has power to do what he did, but he died and then he rose from the grave. Took time to fold up his grave cloth and everything else and rose from the grave. You can read all those details in each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But after he rose from the grave, he was seen by over 500 men. He was seen by over 500 before he ascended into heaven. That's the good news. That's the story that we tell. But what does it mean to us? What does it mean to you? What difference does it make that all this happened? I want you to know, Jesus did his part. Now it's up to you and me to do our part. Why? Because greater is in me. Greater is in you. And I need you to say that after me. I want you to really believe that. You need to say, greater is in me. Come on now. And y'all type it too. Type it in the comments. Greater is in me. All right, now I want you to throw your head back this time and say it like you really mean it. Say, greater is in me. You don't know how important it is for us to know that greater is in us. That greater is in you. Greater is in me. Greater. God has placed greater within us. And seeing that we truly believe the words of Jesus, let's look at how greater is in me. First of all, note this. The hard work has been done. The hard work. Now, greater works are in me. Greater works are in you. Greater works in, but the hard work has already been done. Jesus did the hard work. Jesus laid the foundation. He came to a sin-sick world and paved the way for every unsaved soul to be saved. He did the hard work. He's the one who had to live a perfect life in the midst of everything that went on in his life. He was tempted. Now, I know we get tempted. And many times we get tempted and we sometimes fall into temptation. But Jesus was tempted by the devil himself. Satan himself came to Jesus at one of his weakest physical moments after he had been fasting, after he'd been in the wilderness, after he'd been there for 40 days. And then the devil comes to him to tempt him to do stuff. But Jesus could have easily said, the reason I'm not falling to temptation is because I'm God. But he didn't do that. Jesus spoke to Satan as we can. He spoke to him and let him know. He didn't say, the reason I'm not falling into temptation is because I'm such a wonderful God. I'm in charge of everything. No, he went to the word of God. And he told him, he said, it is written. Satan said, well, you know, command these stones be made. No, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Catch that. No. It is written. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. He was able to go to the word of God. That lets us know he's our example. That whatever we go through, we have the word of God that we can stand on. We can stand on the promise of God. No matter what it is that Satan is throwing at you, we have the word of God that will guide you, protect you. Jesus did the hard work by not falling to any of the temptations that even Satan laid before him. He lived a sin-free life that qualified him to become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He lived perfectly. But Jesus also loved perfectly. He loved in a way that we can't imagine how to love. He did some things in his life that we were saying, well, how in the world could he do that? He loved people that other people didn't care anything about. Matter of fact, we see the story that when the woman was caught in the very act of adultery, and the law said, and the Old Testament said that if a woman's caught in the act of adultery, then that person should be stoned. That woman should be stoned. So they brought the woman before Jesus and the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, they brought him because they wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to show that he wasn't as powerful as the people thought he was. So they brought the woman. Nobody else cared about the woman. It's a woman. She was a second-class citizen. They didn't care. And now she was caught in the very act of adultery. The law said stone her. So they brought her and said, well, Jesus, we brought her to you. The law says, stone her. What do you say, Jesus? They know that if Jesus went against the law, that they would say, ah, we got you. So he didn't. The Bible says he just started scrolling, writing in the sand. And then he looked up and he said, basically, okay, I hear what you're saying. You're supposed to stone her. He said, all right, cool. Let's do it this way. You who are without sin, you throw the first brick. The Bible says he started writing again. And when he looked up, he said to the woman, woman, where are your accusers? He said, neither do I accuse you. Go in peace and sin no more. Now I know we talk about that story all the time. I hear the women saying, where was the man? He should have been stoned too. That's a whole other story. But I'm saying Jesus loved folk that other folk didn't care about. Woman at the well. You know, had no dealing with the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman at the well, we could tell she wasn't really liked by so many others. We know she wasn't liked by so many others because she was at the well at a time when other women were not at the well, almost as to avoid the other women. But she was there to get water, and Jesus showed up. And he said, well, why don't you get me water? She said, no. You know the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. The Samaritans were the despised race, and now she was of the despised gender. But yet Jesus spoke to her and said, give me water. He said, no. How can you ask me for water, she said. But he said, listen, if you knew who were asking you for water, you would ask me to give you living water so you'll never thirst again. And when he was able to explain to her what he was talking about, she said, sir, I want that water. I want to have what you have for me. And he explained to her who he was. And she left that water, she left that well and left her water pot and went into the city to tell him, come see a man that told me everything about me. In other words, come see the Messiah, the one we've been looking for, the one we've been waiting on. And the city went to meet Jesus because of the testimony of the woman. Jesus cared for folk who other folk didn't care about. He showed us how to love. He showed us how to love. Even when you get down to the end of his, when, as he was living on this earth, before he died his physical death, Jesus even washed all the disciples' feet, including the one that betrayed him. He cared about him having clean feet too. Wow. Okay, go even further. His love. He's down on the cross. And one of the thieves who on the cross, convicted felon, one who had done wrong, admitted wrong. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. He even cared enough to save one who's dying on the cross because of his love. So he told us, greater love has no man than this, and lay down life for a friend. But he teaches us how we ought love. He did the hard work. We all were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We all have sinned and come short. No need to hold your head down. No need to fret. Satan will remind you over and over again of the stuff you've done wrong. Satan will remind you from time to time. And if Satan himself does not remind you, he puts somebody in your life who will remind you. You think you all that. You know what you did. I knew you before you were saved. I knew you. I heard what you said when you slammed your finger in the closet door. I heard exactly what you said. I heard what you said when I got mad at you. And I know all about you. I know your family. I know your mama. I know you. But listen, whenever Satan brings up your past, you make sure to bring up his future. His future, when the Lord comes back, is he will be cast along with death and hell into the lake of fire. God loves, and Jesus has shown us how to love. Greater. So, since the hard work has been done, what must we do? Second point. We must believe. We've sinned. We've come short. Our job now is to believe. Believe what? John 14, 12 tells us, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever believes in me. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. The question today is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe that following him can turn your bad situation into a better situation? Do you believe that trusting him can change the very existence of what you have now to what God wants it to be? Do you believe Jesus in the way that if you will follow him? Now, it's a couple of things we do here. There are some folk, and the Lord lets it happen his way. He said we can come to him. We can believe enough that we come to him. Clearly, we can come to him. And I believe sometime some church folk get stuck at just coming to Jesus, but not following Jesus. See, we can come to Jesus, and he wants us to do that. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation is for everybody to come to Jesus, all right? You can come to Jesus just as I was without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. We can come to Jesus just as you are. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to do anything else. You just believe he died for your sins. You can all come to Jesus. The point we need to get is that he not only wants us to come to him, but once we come to him, he wants us to follow him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, that means get yoke with him, and then learn of him. And then you will find the peace, the joy that you're looking for. So when you come to Christ, you say, well, I came to Christ, but my life is, I'm still, it's, I mean, I know Jesus, but my life is just horrible. Well, understand this. Coming to Jesus is the right step to do. But believing Jesus, wanting to follow Jesus, you get to the point of doing that and coming after him. He's come unto me and now follow him. He says, those that will follow him, what would they do? You would take up the cross daily and follow him. Yeah. Not when you come, you believe enough to sort of change and transform some of the things that you say and do, and especially the way we think. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I am not talking about you perfect. Now, I know somebody right there, you're going to talk about being perfect. No. We're talking about trusting Jesus enough and believing in him enough to let him guide you. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you all the way. All the way from earth to glory. Let Jesus lead you on. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. All the way. All the way from earth to heaven. Let Jesus lead you. Listen, we're just saying allow him to lead you. Allow him to lead you. Follow Jesus. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? How do you know that God loves me enough that he wants me? I don't know how many people think I am so bad, I'm so terrible, I've messed up so much in my life that I don't believe Jesus wants me. Yes, he wants you. How do you know that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. John 3:16. For God so loved the world Let me stop right here. I need to do this. I gotta take a survey right quick. How many of you are in this world? I just need to see the hands of everybody who's in this world. I need to see the hands of everybody who's in this world. Okay, all right. It looks like just about everybody. Now, I don't know where everybody else is, but anyway, howsoever, for God so loved the world, folk in this world, that he did something about it. He said that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I know many folk think that the only reason we exist as Christians and church folk is so we can condemn other folk for the stuff they're doing. Some folk are so tired of church folk, they don't know what to do. They don't like coming to church, don't like being around church folk, because we always look like we better than they are. We're going to do better than that. I don't drink what you drink. I don't smoke what you smoke. I don't act like you smoke in public. I mean, I just say that. But the fact is, we all have sinned and come short, and he loves the whole world. That's why he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus loves us all. He wants us to come to know him, to trust him, to live with him. I'm getting out of the way. It's Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to be with our families, go eat. I know we're getting ready for all that. Lastly, last point. First one is the hard work is already done. Second, we must believe. Lastly, greater works are on the way. Greater works are on the way. I believe this. First African Baptist Church, I believe this for every last one of us. I believe this. Greater works are on the way. If we could hear what God is saying to us on Resurrection Sunday morning, I truly believe greater works are on the way. John 14:12 again says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Greater works are on the way because greater is in me. Greater works are on the way because greater is in you. Greater works are on the way because greater is in us. Now, I know what you're saying. I hear it. It's been in your mind ever since I started this text. How can we do anything greater than what Jesus did? I know y'all been thinking that. Only kids will say it. Pastor, tell me how, you know. Y'all, see, y'all being nice. Y'all don't want to say that. How can we do anything greater than what Jesus did? Look at the miracles Jesus did. And I know some folk got real excited when I said greater works you would do than Jesus. When you say, wait a minute, Pastor, wait a minute. Jesus did turn water into wine. Greater works. Let me see, what's better than wine? So I could turn water into champagne? What can I turn water into? That's not what he meant by greater works. You look at all the other miracles where Jesus walked on water, and somebody said, well, okay, I don't have to learn how to swim. Your greater works in me, I can just go walking on water. I don't have to learn how to swim. I can go on a cruise now, because I didn't ever want to go on a cruise because that's too much water for me to swim through, but I can walk on it. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. Greater works. We can keep in mind, first of all, why and how we could do greater works. We do greater works because he who has done great works lives in us. Wait a minute, Pastor. You said he died, he rose from the grave. Then you say he ascended in heaven. How in the world does he live in us? Well, let me do this. John 14:12-14. Let me read this whole text again as it talks about greater works. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, This I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So greater works than Jesus has done will be done because Jesus lives in us. He's with the Father. All right? I said he ascended into heaven. He's with the Father. But Jesus told the disciples when he ascended into heaven, see, I know I preach all the time that Jesus died for our sins. He died. He hung on the cross and he died. Oh, he died. He was placed in a borrowed tomb, stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday, but early on that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power, power over sin, power over grave, power over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us. But I don't really elaborate on the Holy Spirit living in us to guide us and direct us. So Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. So the other comforter he sent us is the Holy Spirit who came after 50 days after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit lives in those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do great works. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do greater works. So what's the great work? Well, one of the great things that Jesus did, if I had to ask you, out of all the miracles that you know Jesus did, what would you say is the greatest of the miracles? Out the healing, out the walking on water, all of that. What would you say was the greatest of all the miracles? If I had to ask you, what was the greatest miracle that you think Jesus did? What would it be? All right, now you know he healed the sick, right? And walked on water and turned water around, all that kind of stuff. He gave blind folk, he gave sight to blind folk. Okay, but if anybody heard that he raised folk from the dead, come on. I mean, what you do after that? I mean, that's pretty big. All right, that's pretty big. You know, Jairus' daughter, you know, he raised her. A widow was having a funeral of her son, her only source of income, her only source of survival. And they're going on the funeral procession, and Jesus comes up and touched it, and he's brought back to life. That's a big deal. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, you know, and he was thinking, and Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave. How much bigger than you get to that? Well, let me know it. I'm done. I want y'all to hear this. I'm done. If everybody gets this, this is a great Resurrection Sunday morning because it's going to transform not just Savannah, but every place we have guests from. It's going to transform the world if we get this one. Yeah. I'm so excited. Jesus raised folk from the dead. We named some of them. That's the one that we can do greater. I don't blame you. I would look at me like I'm crazy too. Wait a minute. All right, let me explain. I'm explaining it. Everyone who Jesus raised from the dead died again. Jairus' daughter was raised, but she died another physical death. Yeah, the widow's son died another physical death. Uh-huh. Lazarus was killed. He was a martyr. He was killed. He died another physical death. But you, my brother, you, my sister, you get a chance to speak life into dead folk walking around today who don't know Jesus by the power invested in you. You get a chance to tell someone this old story. You get a chance to tell someone who's not saved and will die and end up in a burning hell. You get a chance to tell them how much God loves them, how much God cares about them. You get a chance with the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you. You get a chance to tell them that God loves them. God loves them so much that Jesus died for their sins, rose from the grave.
you get to tell them the good old story about how the Lord loves, how the Lord died, and how on this Sunday we celebrate how he rose from the grave with all power. And if they shall confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, they shall be saved. Well, what does that matter? That means they're saved from eternal death. That means they're saved from a burning hell. That means they're saved in such a way where they'll live forever and ever and ever. They'll live forever. They'll go to a place that will have eternal life. Eternal life means life from now on, and then on, and on, and on, and on, and on. They go to a place where the wicked will never cease from troubling, and their weary souls will be at rest. They have joy when they leave this earth. They have peace when they leave this earth. They have everything that the Lord has prepared for them. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And if we love God, we have to love our brothers and our sisters. If we love God, we should want people who don't know Christ to come to know Christ. If we love God, we ought to love those who might talk about you, those who might ridicule you. The Bible clearly says we ought to love those. Love your enemies. Love those who despise you. Love those who hate you. That's the example that Jesus gave, because he died that even the Roman soldiers and everybody who killed him, he even said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he died that they might have life. All they had to do was believe that God loved them so much that Jesus came through 40 and two generations, that he went about doing good. And out of all the good he did, Jesus kept on doing good, as how he loved them through whatever they were doing. Look at our Lord and Savior. They talked about him. They ridiculed him. They called him everything but a child of God. But Jesus kept on loving. Jesus kept on giving. Jesus kept on sharing. Jesus kept on healing. Jesus kept on putting the embracing. Jesus kept on doing what only the Lord could do. Can you see our Lord and Savior, when they scandalized him, when they lied on him, when they trumped up charges against him, when they arrested him, when they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall? Can you see our Lord and Savior, when they marched him up to Golgotha's hill with a crown of thorns on his head, with nails in his hands? They put nails in his feet. And on the cross, because he loved you so much, on the cross because he loved me so much, the Bible says he died. He died. He died. They placed him in the tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But you got to help me preach this. And you got to help me with other people who may not know how much God loves them. He was all in the grave all night Friday. All day Saturday. All night Saturday night. But I said, early on that Sunday morning, he got up with power, power over the grave, victory over death. And days later, he ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who guides us, who directs us, who blesses us, who empowers us to do greater works. Every last one of us who believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave, you have the transforming power within you to do the greater works, to help somebody else come to know a living Savior. You can help somebody else to get out of the miserable life they're living. You can help somebody else to find joy who never had joy. You can help somebody else to find peace that never had peace, because power lives in you. Greater is 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 in you. And he's given you greater, so you can do greater works. Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you for greater. I'm done. But thank you for greater. Listen. Listen. Those who saved, we always want to hear the Lord say two words. Two words. We want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. My heart bleeds for those who may not know Jesus.
And sort of on a comical side, but I'm serious. There's somebody else other than Jesus, when it's all over, who could say to some folk, well done. I said, we want the Lord to say, well done. But if you don't know Jesus, you got but two choices. Smoking or non-smoking. If you end up with the smoking, you don't want somebody there to say, well done. In eternal fire. But you have an opportunity because God loves. Whoever you are, you have an opportunity to say, God, listen, I believe you love me enough that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that. And because I believe you, I know greater works is in me, but before I do greater works, I want to do the first work. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. So on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to say, Lord, I believe. Come into my life. On today, if you're here and you know you're not saved, listen, there's nobody here to judge you. There's nobody here to judge you. Everybody who's saved will only applaud you and give God praise for the decision that you make to give your heart to God. That's all we could do. Nobody who loves God can judge, but only, listen, Jesus said, God sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We want everybody in this building to leave and everybody online to be able to leave and do the great work God has commissioned you to do. And that's to let somebody else know how great and loving God is because he did get up from the grave. If you're here on today, and you want to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, those in the building, we give you an opportunity to come forward and we'll just pray with you. You come forward. There may be others. A matter of fact, you could pray a prayer without moving. You could believe right now that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave. You could pray the prayer where you are. You could pray it online as well. And then after we prayed the prayer, if you want to be a member of First African Baptist Church, you could come forward. But let's pray prayer. Anybody who wants to be saved, you can pray this prayer. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to pause. Listen to what I'm saying. And if that's what you believe, you can say it with me. If that's what you believe. Because the Bible tells it clearly. If you shall confess your mouth to Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God is raised from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's what happens. So here's a prayer we could pray if you want to be saved. Repeat after me. You say, Father, I have sinned. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you're in the building and you also would like to become a member of First Half, you are now a disciple of Jesus Christ based on your profession of faith. But if you also like to be a member of First Half Baptist Church, walk down the aisles, give us your hand as you've already given God your heart. If you're online, just go ahead and type saved, S-A-V-E-D, and we'll contact you about becoming a member of First Half Baptist Church. Won't you come today? Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify. Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.